Father, I want to thank you for this moment. And I want it to be as blessed as the rest of the service has been. So use me in spite of me, Lord. And please present these powerful thoughts that you have given to me for your people, for us, for this very time of Earth's history, so that it's presented clearly, concisely, and the Spirit of God would move upon us, and we will leave here changed. So please let us hear and let us see Jesus, and we will give you the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to review with you the points so far that we have covered in the stewardship series. In fact, if you notice in your bulletin, this is part 7 of the stewardship series. And by the way, this is the last, 7 and the last. And we found out that a steward, by the way, is one who manages another person's property. And believe it or not, that boils down to the fact that we own nothing. Only one amen? Amen. That's hard to swallow, isn't it, folks? It is, but it's true. We don't own anything. We may pretend like we do, we may act like we do, we may even think we do, but the truth is, the minute we expire on this planet, that thing that we thought was ours goes somewhere else to someone else for something else. And we don't have it. Secondly, a steward must be faithful. This is an absolute command by Paul. A steward must be faithful. And we found out that he's faithful in tithe and offering. We found out that he is faithful in training and educating his children according to Christian standards. We found out that a steward is faithful in working in the vineyard. We found out that a steward should be faithful in loving one another. That isn't so easy. And today we're going to find out that a steward is faithful. Whoops, I went the wrong way here. There we go. Part 7 is a faithful steward will pass the test. That's interesting. The last and final sermon in this series is entitled, A Faithful Steward Will Pass the Test. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Revelation, the 16th chapter, of all places, the 16th chapter, and let's see what in the world we're talking about, that a faithful steward will pass the test. What test? And of all places, Revelation 16. Turn there with me in your Bibles, children. Where are your Bibles? I hope you have them. Open your Bibles, follow along with me, so that you can let the Spirit speak to you as I read and you follow along. Revelation, the 16th chapter. And sure enough, for those of you who are wondering or probably a little curious, this is the chapter on the 7 last plagues. Mine says the 7 vials of wrath. And notice what we find in verse number 12. And the 6th angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, which plague or vial is this one? What's the number? 6. And how many are there? So this is the next to last, right? And notice that this plague is the drying up of the river Euphrates. Incredibly and highly symbolic language. Simply means that the enemies of God will at this very moment in earth's history break apart in disunity and God delivers His people. There's only 2 amens now. God delivers His people, folks. the vials poured out upon the great rivers Euphrates, the waters thereof are dried up, that the way of the kings of the east, Jesus, the Father, the Son, and all the angels will come straight down to get the people. I saw three unclean spirit-like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now please remember that this sixth plague poured out upon the rivers Euphrates is the last and seventh part of the series on stewardship that states a steward will be faithful to pass the test. To pass the test. Now, you know, I'm just having a real difficult time right now. Because some of you who have been coming to the Revelation seminars on Saturday evening, which I have one again this evening, and we're on chapter 18 of Revelation, we recently covered this. And there's so much I want to tell you to catch you up that I can't tell you. We don't have the time. But I will declare this to you emphatically. You need to understand this. If I just read that to you and you don't understand it, I am telling you, you need to understand this. It's absolutely crucial. And now you know why, because it has to do with a test. A test that every single person will face. A steward has to be faithful in all those areas we looked at, part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But a faithful steward will pass the test. And God wants us all to pass the test. And as your pastor, I want to pass the test, but I'll tell you something. I want you to pass the test just as bad as I want to pass the test. And of all places, the sixth plague. Now, by the way, those of you who have, you know, an understanding of your Bible, you know that already probation has closed by the time the plagues begin to be poured out. And the sixth one, by the way, the number of Babylon is six. And how interesting, and the sixth plague is when Babylon is destroyed by God and God's people are delivered. And when that happens, folks, we are free. The kings of the east are clear to come and get us. But before that happens, before probation closes, there are three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the dragon, out of the beast, out of the false prophet. By the way, how many is that? Dragon, beast, false prophet. That's three. And how many are over here? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the dragon, the beast, had a life, death, and resurrection experience. He was murdered and came back to life. And we have the Father and the Son had a life, death, resurrection experience. Everything of God is counterfeited by Satan in order to deceive his people, so they don't amass with God, but instead against God on His side. And in the sixth plague, this is all finalized. This is the summation when out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, come miracles so incredible that it'll even fool the elect. And He will work them over and bring them together through these miracles, so that the whole world sides with Him against God and His Ten Commandments. By the way, I told you more about the sixth plague than I planned to tell you, but you can see this thing is pregnant. But I want you to notice five clear points in this plague. God's people see, first of all will side with Satan against God's law. Didn't it say, out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, the unholy Trinity, that's a total unit, which is opposed to the Holy Trinity, which is a total unit. And all their followers will side together at the very end for the purpose of, number two, destroy those who honor God's law. That's what the sixth plague is telling us. You got that? So in this plague, God reveals very clearly to us that the enemy, Satan, will come against God's law and he'll bring everybody on his side. And the purpose is to destroy those who honor God's law. But I want you to look at this. Here's what else it tells us. Number three, it tells us the blessed assurance that God's foreknowledge in the coming events. Now, let me let that settle on your mind. What did God just do? He just revealed to us He knows what's going to happen in the end, didn't He? Isn't it much more comforting when you know what's going on than when you don't know what's going on? In fact, the Bible is to get us out of the dark, folks. Satan is sowing darkness all around all of us. And the Bible is to relieve that darkness. So not only do we find out that Satan will call the whole world to his side for the purpose of attacking God's people who keep the law of God, as small and few as they are and as weak and unprepared as they might be, meaning resource-wise versus the entire world, it tells us also that God knew about this. And number four, it reveals His plan of safety and deliverance for His people. I want to show you something that you may have never heard before. Armageddon. Now, I'm afraid that if we had the time and I took the time right now, handed out a piece of paper, had you all vote, handed in, most of you would give me the definition of Armageddon that the Left Behind series, the dispensationalists, the ones that believe in the rapture, have for the word Armageddon. That it's a great battle that happens on the plain of Megiddo in Israel in the last days between Russia and whoever else, China and the United States and Israel and da-da-da-da-da-da. I dare say, I wonder if you would say that. Because I want you to know, if you did, you really missed the point. Armageddon means this. Notice, by the way, the clue here is verse 16. And He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Therefore, we must translate the word according to the Hebrew tongue. Armageddon is a Hebrew word that is har, meaning mountain, and Megiddo comes from the root gadah, meaning cut off or meaning slaughter. Armageddon means the mountain of slaughter. It has nothing to do with a worldwide war on the plain of Megiddo in Israel. And folks, stop just for a second. Time out. How in the world could you fit the whole world on the plain of Armageddon, a small little spot there in Israel? Impossible. You got that? That's because this is a spiritual warfare between God and His allies and Satan and his allies, in which Jesus shows up right before the first shot is fired and delivers His people. The river Euphrates dries up. Waters stand for people, nations, tongues. So the word Armageddon isn't about a battle that's coming, folks, that is visible, real, and physical over there in Israel. It has nothing to do with that. It's a worldwide battle that we are marching towards right now, in which Satan culminates by bringing all of his forces together against the law of God and finally targets God's people on earth, who refuse to give it up. even under the threat of death. Armageddon is the mountain of slaughter. It is where God delivers His people. And the enemies of God turn on one another while we're looking up. I just got a chill. Lo, there is our God. We have waited for Him. In the meantime, in the background behind us is carnage and murder and pillage and plunder going on. When they suddenly realize this huge, mighty force was totally deceived by the spiritual leaders and they turn on them, and we're enthralled because we actually see the first physical sighting of Christ that gets bigger and bigger. And this is when, and behind us, they are going to the rocks in the mountains and committing suicide and killing one another. But where's the test, folks? Where's the test? For you see, it turns out the reason we are looking at the sixth plague, because the Lord very intelligently, and what would you say, is like a riddle, the Lord places within the sixth plague, Babylon's number is six, and that's when Babylon's support is dried up. And that's when God delivers His people and overthrows Babylon spiritually, as He did in the Old Testament physically. And it turns out that in the sixth plague is Christ's last personal message to the remnant. Did you get it? In this plague is a specific message to you and I, which applies now before the close of probation. And I wonder how many of you even knew that. Oh, I wish you would come to the Revelation seminar that we have. I want you to read with me again verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. And how many of you have that written and read in your Bible? Raise your hand high. Yeah. Behold, I come as a thief. A personal announcement by Jesus, couched in the midst of the sixth plague, the second to last, when God's people are delivered from their enemies, the very moment that they come to implement the death decree that was passed a short time before. Behold, I come as a thief. A personal message that God puts in this plague for you and I. I come as a thief. Now let me give you your second test. I'm going to hand out the paper. And I'm going to say, what is he referring to? Behold, I come as a thief. And I think just like all the evangelicals, and just like the dispensationalists, those that believe in the rapture, you're going to say, well, it's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say to you, it isn't. It isn't. Behold, I come as a thief is not the second coming, but the warning to God's people before the close of probation, that it'll happen when you don't expect it, and you better be ready before it happens. Oh, now we're getting to God's last warning message to the remnant, couched in the sixth plague, because Babylon's number is six, and because Babylon loses its support, even though probation is closed by now, there is a message that applies before probation closes, in which he says to his people, behold, you do not know when probation is going to close. That is the time frame you and I need to be thinking about, folks. Are you ready for probation to close? Behold, I come as a thief. It isn't the second coming of Jesus Christ. Yes, we don't know the day or hour, but let me tell you, when He comes, by that time, we will know that nothing else is going to happen. So what in the world is He talking about when He says a thief? He is referring to the close of probation. By the way, He's referring to the same very thing in the parable of the 10 virgins. He's not talking about the second coming. He's talking about when probation closed and five in the church were ready and five in the church were not ready. There's a message that God has hidden, a personal message from Him. Behold, I come. It's a present, active, indicative, first person singular. It means I am coming as a thief. That's why it's in red in your Bible. And then He goes on to tell us the rest of this test message. He says, blessed. By the way, I can't refrain from telling you this. I'm not doing too bad. I'm almost done. Do you know that in the book of Revelation, there are seven blesseds? Seven of them. Did you know that? Numbers are very important, folks. The number of Babylon is six. And of course, the epitome of Babylon is 666. And you got the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. And you got the Trinity, that's three. And you got God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. But whenever you say seven, everybody goes perfection, completeness, God. That's right. By the way, notice it's a sixth seal. That God's people are delivered, and the seventh seal finalizes it. It's done. Complete. Hallelujah. So, mixed here in the sixth plague is a very personal message from Jesus. Personal. He doesn't say, God says, I come as a thief, or He told me to tell you I come as a thief. No, it says, I am coming as a thief. Blessed. The sixth blessed in the book of Revelation. Blessed are those. No, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Christ's last day message to the remnant tells us that we must be ready for the close of probation, and that those who are blessed, those who will be ready, you see, that's what it means, blessed. Those who will be ready will do what two things, folks? Tell me. They will watch, and they will keep His garments. Lest he walk naked and they see his shame. By the way, let me give you another test right now. A little different. Is there another place in the book of Revelation that says approximately the same words I just read to you? Okay, I'll read it again. Come on. I think I heard somebody say it. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. No, in the book of Revelation. Revelation 3:14. The letter, the counsel to the church of Laodicea. How many churches are there? Laodicea is what number? Seven in the Bible means what? Complete. And he says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich in white raiment, that you will be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness will not see an eye salve. So now we find out that this last day message hidden in the middle of, in the middle of the sixth plague, which is the last, the plague in which God delivers His people from Babylon, whose number is six. It relates to that parable that is so important to all of us about the 10 virgins, five are ready, five aren't. And now we find out uses the same wording from the council to the church of Laodicea. So what is the test, folks? Let me stop now. I'm going to show you the test. Stop and think. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments so he doesn't walk around naked and they see his shame. The test for all of us, folks, is this. The absolute necessity of a full surrender of self to Jesus Christ. It is His garment that we are to keep. And we are to keep watch. In fact, He uses that term, keep watch, throughout the New Testament, referring to watching and praying. In the Garden of Gethsemane, do you know what He told Peter, James, and John? He said, keep watching and keep praying so that you don't enter into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the... There's a test. And you know what the test is? Full commitment to God. How are you doing in that category? Watch this. Peter, how are you doing in that category? Are you ready? Are you ready for the test? Peter, are you ready for the close of probation? What if it's 5 minutes from now? Are you ready, Peter? Have you fully committed to Jesus Christ? A faithful steward will pass the test. Hidden within the very essence of the sixth plague, which now is highly symbolic as you kind of see, is a personal message to the remnant people for the last days before the close of probation that literally states it is absolutely necessary to be fully surrendered to God. Surrender of self. What is the greatest battle that we have to fight? Self. Self. Clad in the armor of Christ's righteousness, the church is to enter upon her final conflict. The darkest hour of the church's struggle with the powers of evil is that which immediately precedes the day of final what? Say it. Deliverance. But none who trust in God need fear. God will be to His church a refuge. Brothers and sisters, what must we be clad in order to be on the right side when probation closes? The armor of Christ's righteousness. Indeed, what is the test? The test is full surrender to Jesus Christ. And now I want you to know in closing here that as I already pointed to that message I just read to you, the last warning message, the personal warning message of Jesus, the last one found in all of the Bible. By the way, in chapter 22, He has the last personal message, but it's, behold, I come quickly, right? Yeah? This is the last warning message that He is telling His people before the close of probation, and this will now set me on a new 4-part series about the shaking. Do you know what the shaking is? The Bible says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So it turns out the real final test has to do with the shaking. Will we be fully surrendered to God? In Revelation 3, we will find the answer. What is the shaking? When is the shaking? How can we be ready for it? A 4-part series that I'll begin, not next week, it's Youth Sabbath, I think next week. I will start the week after that. I need you to be here, for we are more fully going to explain this. Well, my friends, in review, we know that a steward owns nothing. A steward must be faithful in tithes and offerings, in training and educating his children according to Christian standard, in working in the vineyard, in loving one another, and finally will pass the test. Are you ready? Please say no. Because if you say no, you're in the right place. If you say yes, maybe you're not in the right place. This is crucial. The information that will be coming in the next couple weeks is crucial for all of us. It's necessary to understand our only safety is the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2010. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.